Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's your girl Afnan.
And it's Farah.
And we are Rooted Black Girls representing everyday black millennial women at multiple faiths, cultures, and today, generations. Y'all know we stand millennials. We are millennials.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know that the oldest millennials have just turned 40?
I don't claim them.
You don't claim the older millennials?
I don't claim them.
Where do you think it stops at?
In my mind, like 37 right now. 37.
When I meet people that are a little, you know, older than me, then I see a difference.
There's
I kind of relegate them to Gen X because they have a weirdly, really weird poster personality.
Yeah.
And I think their poster child is Kanye West. I've said that before.
Oh,
like Jay-Z, girl. Kanye West are like poster children for, you know, they kind of are individualized. They kind of sold out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of work within the system to like make personal gains.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think those are millennials. But Beyonce, I think, is more connected to a millennial.
Yeah.
She stays connected. 40.
Yeah, but she stays connected. She makes it and she hires people and makes an intentional effort to stay connected.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of us are just big ass kids.
Yeah. Big ass kids. Why do we need
just
to grow
childish.
Up?
That's a good question. I don't know. I love trying to stay young. I'm just now getting the comments like, oh, you're old.
Yes.
You know, from like younger cousins and siblings. Do they disrespect y'all like that?
Definitely they do.
Yeah.
My brother, actually, he is a lot younger than me. And he doesn't see a huge difference in like our general, like what we like to do. I don't know if he's just appeasing me, you know, to make me feel good. And I appreciate you, Hassan.
Yeah.
Because,
no, shout out to Hassan.
You know,
because
I think maybe he was like, yeah, I don't see too much of a difference, but my life, how does it look any different from him outside of being more, having like maybe a better personality, having more experiences, right? I just think I'm kind of part of his generation in a way, but I have more money.
Yeah. No, literally, look, we have more money, made more mistakes, like figured a few things out. Basically.
I don't talk to people crazy now. You know, like I can really.
I'm still trying.
Yeah. We still have, sometimes. But yeah, definitely, I feel like a big kid. I don't feel my age, FNAF.
No, absolutely not.
I don't know how y'all feel.
Yeah, I turned 30 and people were like, really? And I was like, girl, tell me about it.
No.
I remember when I thought 30 was like super old.
I remember I was like, what? Who are they, mom? Like, I don't want to hang out with them.
Yes.
So old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's like I realized that my perception of where I thought I would be and where I would feel in my mind, like 30, I would be slowing down energy wise. I wouldn't want to travel. Like,
I thought 27, I was done.
Yeah.
Like off
We're
the streets.
We're so stupid.
Yeah.
That's
just
so
like
true.
Children, barefoot pregnant in a house. You
That's
know?
What I thought. I thought 26 for sure. I would be like done.
Done.
Clank, clank.
Right.
In the house.
And now I'm thinking every single day, I'm like, do I want my life to look any different? Right. But then I also think like, is this what life is about?
Yeah.
Right. There's always this like, oh, I'm good. You know, like, why are millennials still on the sneakers app?
You know what? Speaking of speakers, I literally just got some tennis shoes from StockX and I'm like, I need to grow the hell up.
Why haven't we gotten our, what are those shows? Like we need shoes like Clark's.
Stop it.
Yeah, like, why haven't we aged into
that? No, fuck that.
I know. I'm wearing, like, Dunks, right? Yeezys.
Period.
Right?
Yep.
I'm just like, well, New Balances. Okay. But now, and New Balances Faithfully. Are, like, the new, like, dad shoe.
I remember when like they were cool justified thing. Dad shoes. Yeah. I'm like, you wouldn't touch them
I
with
wouldn't
the
touch
pole.
Them. Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember my dad being like, okay, yeah, that's part of the 2 for $100. You and Adam.
Oh, no.
Remember that?
No, literally.
Did you hate that deal?
Or the outlets. Like, taking you to the outlets,
instead
of getting the name brand, like, legit from the mall or the drop.
For tax-free weekend.
Yeah.
And now I look back at it, I'm like,
so
tax-free,
smart,
tax-free weekend, what does that really do? Because it's only for clothes and shoes.
More shopping. That's
it,
what it is.
It
so you get out there.
More shopping, but the break isn't that large of
it's
a break.
It's not. I mean, but for some families,
for some
it could
families.
Be. Yeah, I think for some families it could be. But I think honestly, like, we're just in a generation where it's so easy to stay where we're at.
Yeah.
There's not, like, as many social influences to, like, move on. Aside from, like, the incessant questions of when are you having kids, when are you getting married, like, what are you doing with your life?
We're also the generation that, in our more formative years, that we experienced September 11th, right?
You it mean we like, were born in chaos. Wasn't Twitter talking about
Twitter
this?
Was definitely talking about that. It's this guy by the name of Silk. He was hilarious,
God.
But he
but
said
accurate.
We are like the children of Rihanna, born in chaos.
Oh my God.
And it's completely
no
true
facts.
And I told you guys a long time ago how I was talking and watching the September 11th documentary, and
yes.
I knew nothing. I was looking at it through a teenage, like, child
lens. You know
lens.
What? Fred and I ended up binge watching the series, and I was horrified all over again watching it from, like, an adult perspective. Did I tell you about it? I don't think we talked about that.
I gasped.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world was this?
I know.
And even to the point where when we're comparing, like, and you shouldn't compare, right?
Right.
Deaths, but you think coronavirus, and, like, I think, where are we? Like, 600, 700,000 deaths. in the country.
Insane.
But that was in a very impactful, we felt, like terrorized by a different set of people outside of this country. And it just felt, wow, like what exactly is this? And
what
we
knew
it was
life?
A pivotal moment. We knew our lives would look no different. Absolutely. I was accounting it, and I felt like after September 11th, the world seemed like the way that I perceive it now.
Yeah.
It looks like it was black and white.
What do you mean? Tell me more.
Meaning the way that when I look back and account what was happening after, like 2 to 3 weeks after, when the world had just shut down altogether and we were glued to the television.
Yeah.
I see myself and my family in like black and white.
Really?
It's very, very weird. But I remember a lot of the detail of like where I was.
Okay.
What I was doing.
Everybody, I feel like everybody who like millennials definitely remember where they were when they found out. Do you recall?
Yes.
What state were you in?
Mr. Wilson's AP chemistry class.
Where were you in the
world? I was in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Military town.
Interesting.
It's a Navy town.
Okay.
We had a lot of Navy kids in our school.
So you were in class when it happened?
I was in class. I remember we knew that the first planes
had hit. Oh, yeah,
on
the East Coast. Yes,
yeah,
that's
right.
And
George Bush was actually pretty close by reading to little kids in the state of Florida.
I saw that in the documentary.
In the state of
and
Florida.
Remember when he whispered in his ear, like,
yeah,
America's under attack?
Like,
he's like, slow blink.
Yeah, slow blink. Like, he couldn't.
What?
You could tell he was like gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember by the time I got to geometry with Miss Keating,
y'all kept going to class.
We kept going to class until they shut it down.
Oh, because they didn't realize what was happening.
They
just
didn't.
Yet.
We didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yes. By the time we got to second class, the second plane had hit. Right. Because
yes.
That was like 9:20 something.
Yes.
And by the time I got there, they were already dropping Osama bin Laden's name. And I don't know if he did a video claiming that, you know, it was part of his group. I didn't know what was going on. But I remember thinking that happened very quickly, that they're blaming Muslims.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
and
not connecting Osama bin Laden to Muslims, because we'd be like, that'd be really messed up. Right. Because that's a whole different sector.
We don't
right?
claim him. Can we just say
we
that real quick?
What Muslim claims is
not
nigga,
one,
like,
not a real one.
Yeah.
May Allah judge and be the listen,
the final
Moving
judge
on,
and
continue.
Testament. Right.
Yeah.
And so I just remember being, but I didn't wear hijab at the time. And I was an athlete. I was a varsity athlete. Right.
OK.
And so
how old were you?
I
grade?
Was like 14, 15.
Okay.
September 11th. Right.
Nice.
And so I wasn't relegated to being Muslim, but my neighbors knew that we were Muslim because our grandmother would always come. My mom wore hijab, but I did not. So at school, I wasn't terrorized. I was kind of relegated as like one of the smart, because you know you're in just AP classes. They, you know, people just make up stuff.
Make stuff, yeah.
The smart athletes, that group,
that
right?
Because
there was like a group of
so
us.
So your
that would
world
go to every
was
class together.
Generally unaffected.
Generally, right?
That is nuts.
I do remember my dad weirdly putting up a flag in front of the house, and I was like,
"Girl,
what
I have
is
a story.
This?
I have a story." Child.
Yeah. So where were you? You were wearing hijab at the time.
I was wearing hijab. I had been wearing hijab for a few years by then. I was in.
I'm sure it's a totally different story.
Fourth grade. I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember I woke up out of bed and I heard my dad in the living room because we were in Nevada at the time. A shout out to Reno.
Reno.
I've lived in
Reno.
Oh my God. I don't know why my parents
weird
ever do that
town.
To me. Very weird town.
Yeah.
Predominantly
it's the smallest,
white.
Smallest, largest town in the world. Is
smallest.
That what
they said? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like everybody knows it, but it's tiny.
It's tiny, yeah.
And it's in the middle of the desert in Nevada. It's like nothing there. Anyway.
Yeah, lots of Subarus.
Lots of Subarus. I remember thinking, is this like a foreign car?
Like,
I had never seen so many.
It's a really reliable, ugly car. I think
terrible.
The worst drivers, anytime I see like, what the hell are they doing?
It's Nevada.
It's No. It's they're driving a Subaru.
Oh, the Subarus
are
to blame?
Girl,
I don't even know.
Anytime I see a Subaru. But go ahead.
So yeah, so fourth grade, I remember hearing my dad, like, you know, like my eyes are opening, hearing my dad's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But we're on West Coast time. So
we're
by the time
West
yeah,
Coast.
So we're 3 hours behind.
Still home.
Yeah, we're home. I should have been at school. I looked at the clock. The clock was 9 something our time. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking something is wrong because I should have been to class by now and I'm really rested and I didn't wake up to screaming parents.
Oh, yes.
And I remember walking out in the living room. My dad was like glued to the TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he was like, you know, when dads are watching like something has to be a low and everyone, right. And so I was like, what's going on? And of course I could see the screen and I see these buildings, World Trade Center. Didn't know what the hell that was.
Where?
And I was like, what is it?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, in New York, a building crashed. And by itself, it sounds like an accident. It sounds
does.
Like
everyone
oh,
thought it was like a pilot had a heart attack.
I didn't even realize that the planes, I didn't even realize like a plane had hit the building or
no
anything
one knew.
Like that.
They thought it was a small plane. Initially they told George Bush that it was a small like carrier plane. And it wasn't a 757 with full
massive,
fuel.
Massive, yeah. And I think the other thing is at the time when I initially found out, it sounded like it was an accident. I think part of it was like, my childhood and mm-hmm. like not understanding like planes don't just run into buildings, but I didn't even know about the plane portion. Yeah. I just, it sounded like maybe the building had like structural imbalance or mm-hmm. I don't know. And it just crashed yeah. or you know what I mean? And so then I was like, why are you so sad though? Like what's, I'm missing something. Like, I could yeah. tell that the gravity of it was heavy very. And I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't understand. And my dad was like, you know, this is going to be different for us. Things are going
to
be different.
He said that to you.
Yeah. He knew like, especially because a few hours later, they had already started talking about Osama bin Laden. And he knew like our lives are going to be different. And yeah. I remember being like really nervous of like, what was he talking about? And hoping yeah. that he was just like, you know, typical African father. He's blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah, right?
And I was really hopeful that he was exaggerating.
So what did you experience?
Girl, by the time we went back to school, friends.
Which was like 2 weeks later, right?
Yeah.
They shut down the whole world.
I don't even remember how long we were out, but I remember it was a minute.
It was the United States.
Yeah. I remember there was like a period where we weren't going to school. And then when I did, like, oh, friends walked up to me clean and said, my parents said I can't be friends with you because you're a terrorist. And I remember like pleading, like really good friends at the time. And I remember thinking like, guys, I don't know how to make a bomb. I'm totally harmless. I'm failing algebra. I copy your homework. You know what I mean?
You're like, the chemistry, I don't even know how to
I haven't even taken chemistry. I don't know nothing on the elements yeah. table, okay? Periodic mm-hmm. table. So, and I remember not understanding, like, oh my God, they're really afraid of us. And I remember yeah. overwhelmingly all the Muslims I knew at the time felt like compelled to show them we're not a threat to you. Let's
there was
pacify
this, like, reactive,
like, no, you know, like, it's not us. Let's show you ourselves. Who we are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would have taken a very much different approach now. Oh. Right?
Do you feel like people became
more nasty.
Staunch about their religion?
Oh my God.
I feel like we had to make a decision. Like it almost like what I imagine is, you know how that scary kind of Jahannam, kind of like the devil's going to come to your house.
And Jahannam is hell for those if you
yeah,
ask
for hell, right? So there's always this story of like the day will come where they're going to put barcodes in the back of your neck. I don't know. This is what I grew up like.
You
think me and my
Jahannam
brother talking.
Barcodes in the back? Wait,
no,
I'm totally
no, not Jahannam, but like the idea of like the devil or a surrogate of the devil will yeah. come to you, bring a gun. And be like, who do you believe in?
Oh, yes.
And if you say Allah, then he'll shoot you like
yeah.
dead, right?
Yeah.
But if you say something different, then you're part of his like army.
Yeah. Will right? your faith override your fear?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in that time, I was thinking like, oh, got to suit up. Like, I got to be ready. Allah, you know?
Oh, my God.
Like, I really thought, and I think generally, like symbolically, people yeah. were thinking that way.
Okay.
I felt like more people put on their hijab, more people were connected to the faith.
Oh, no, I experienced the exact opposite.
Really? People
I saw people taking off, like my stepmother at the time, she wore niqab.
Yeah.
And I remember like it being like a question of if it was safe. Another thing that shortly after that happened, our mosque actually was attacked. Like there was a black Muslim doctor and two white young men, I think they were like 18 and 22,
yeah.
came with metal bats and attacked the first person they saw walk out of the masjid, yeah. and it happened to be him.
So
and while he did live through it, he never recovered. Like, he was never able to practice.
Yeah.
And I remember then understanding what my dad said, that, like, our life was different.
Completely different.
And I felt like we had to communicate very clearly and often all the time. We are Americans.
Proving
we
yourself.
Are Muslims.
Yeah.
But we're peaceful. We are not to be feared.
Yeah.
Like, we're safe. Like, pacifying people. Like, no,
always.
No.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, like, we're fine. And I remember having to prove my Americanism, right?
I remember.
Like
American flag.
American flags. You know when you
having
said your dad
to
put
even
the flag?
Say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I remember
like
saying it louder,
loud
like I'm an American.
Yeah,
and
our
almost
Pledge of Allegiance.
Only
yeah.
almost pledging my allegiance to America before my religion. So people didn't think that they were unsafe.
Yeah.
And I remember we bought red, white, and blue ribbons to put on our cars.
Yeah.
We bought the flags all the time.
Wow.
Because at every stoplight we were getting those looks. I was full hijab at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, if I don't communicate that in every visual cue, like inaudible cue that I have,
yeah.
I could be in danger.
Mm.
And then even like my dad lost his job shortly after because they mysteriously ended his contract. But like a lot of Muslim families I know, like were had like financial impacts because of that. And so kind of going back to what you were saying,
yeah.
chaos,
yeah.
like, and that was
born
the beginning
of
it, right?
Yeah.
Then you add like the financial crisis afterward, like through a college.
Don't even get me started.
It was one
student
after another. Student loan, right?
Predatory debt.
Oh my God.
We can't purchase homes. So, you know, I saw some stuff here that says that we're more than half of millennials are not married.
I believe it.
We're thinking and imagining like different lives altogether. And I think
the Stepford Housewife
socially,
model's not like working anymore.
What was that?
The Stepford Housewife model.
It's
like,
not. It's not like we're not looking at that. We're these are all antiquated and outdated models for us, right?
Yeah.
And we're thinking like, of course, we're like two Muslim women, right? But we're thinking as like as millennials, as Americans, as a conglomerate group of people, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we'll delve a little deeper into the Black Muslim space. Like, what does that mean for us? But like in general, I just think we're born of chaos. There's a lot of things that have happened to this generation. And the thing is, like, I'm sure the other generations had a lot of stuff going on too, like Vietnam War, World War One, right? World War Two. And so we're not thinking we're completely opposite, but in what we know and who we are
and what we've experienced, and what we've here experienced, in the US,
it feels very chaotic.
Oh my God, it was.
It feels chaotic.
Yeah.
And so when we're trying to like fashion and build households, I really, you know, you just think like, am I really going to bring someone along? You think about the debt that you've accumulated over a period of time, right? Because of these predatory loans that they're allowing 18-year-olds to make these large decisions around hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right? It's insane.
Like, come on. Like, it's come so on, dangerous. Joe and Kamala. Like, I need y'all to do together. Something about this, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, just I think a lot of millennials are rejecting the idea of, like, what the American dream looks like.
Yeah.
Like, the home ownership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Living in
the
suburbs.
Life of Airbnb, in the day and age of Airbnb and, like,
working from your
laptop.
You're thinking about, like, what we're doing now. And so I think we see these new generations, like, including ourselves and Gen Z and then the next. What are they going to be called? Alpha generation?
Girl, I don't know.
AA? I don't know. I don't know who they are.
Listen.
Right? They're going to be the children of millennials. But then millennials are not having children at rates that we've seen
we're
historically.
We're not ready. God damn. Listen, we're first of all.
Not. And maybe it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning of us not feeling our age. It's all connected. Like, do I feel equipped to start a family?
Listen.
And to really be selfless?
But
right?
If my biological clock didn't tick, yeah. I would wait another 5 years.
Oh,
easily.
My God, 10.
Easily. Like, yeah, with no, right? Without hesitation.
Yeah.
Like, go, you know, and I think the other thing is, the plan that was kind of written out before us, or mm-hmm. like the way that people would do things before us, like in our parents' generation, like by now you were settled and you had some years to like get your stuff out and you know,
my
live
mom
your
had
best
a third
life.
Kid at this age.
Yeah, that's nonsense. I mean, not for your mom, but
no,
like, I can't imagine.
Think, like, what? And I have some friends that have children, right?
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
But generally, I think most of my friends are, you know, kind of without.
And I think. I think fundamentally, yeah.
Models
there's,
of households.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. No worries.
I think the other thing is, to your point too, like the foundations of like how expensive home ownership is, how expensive college tuition is, then you add debt. Like, financially, it doesn't even make sense. It's dangerous to do that without a solid plan.
Now we have COVID.
Oh my
right?
God.
Right? That's like just shifted us completely into a different direction, a new direction. And then we're supposed to think about the permanency of building a family and a household. When we keep being jabbed.
But I had somebody
I feel like Ali's hitting me, bro.
Girl,
like,
from every
you
side.
You know, like, sting like a butterfly. Like, you know, I feel like I'm being pushed around.
I think the other thing, too, that I thought was so interesting is somebody who's a Gen Z, one of my friends, was saying, like, oh, I would never accept a job where I had to go in. And I was like, wait, you've never had a job in the office? She's like, no, never. No, and I was like, what?
Yeah, my little brother never.
They've never
I think
worked.
He worked at Polo. We met up the other day, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, I felt like it was 2 days. He was like, it was a month.
Oh, my God. No, but, like, the fact that they've never experienced working in an office building or even fast food. She said she had never done it.
Nothing.
She's like, and I don't think I'd ever try it.
Yeah. And ghetto. I don't blame them. Why?
Man.
Why?
But at the same time, it's like, you know, going back to what we said before, how do we think like largely, like differently around the social skills you would have got if you had to be in front of somebody? Like, how are you going to operate differently as a coworker or as a colleague when you've never had to meet these people ever?
Do they have to?
I mean, I guess not.
Yeah, it's going to be completely different, right? And I think that's why millennials, I think we're going to be the leaders of the next generation. I'm kind of taking that on, right? I think we're all assuming this role, right? As baby boomers are finally sitting the hell down.
And
because
like
they,
finally getting tired. Finally. They fought us.
But COVID made them retire.
They were tired.
Yeah, I have a few like people that I know that are a lot that are older, that are baby boomers, who said that had COVID not happened, they would still be
working.
They
would have held on to it a little bit longer.
But they sold their homes, their getting RVs, now they're traveling,
done.
They're finally done, they're like leaving the ranks, right? Which leaves us
Thank
to kind
God.
Of carry on the baton, and we talk about that often, right? But in addition, like, I was looking up some stuff, and they said Black millennials are at a lower than any other ethnicity or race group of having and building families. And I was like, why?
I mean, to me, it makes sense. Like, yeah. all of the lack of support on every front. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not to undermine the experiences and the people who we've built a country on the backs of Black and brown people, of course. Sure. And of course, they didn't have the opportunities. But now, like, it's that much more complicated to navigate through. And it's also changing, you know, at the click of a button, literally. Yeah. Right. We're the generation of the internet kids. Yeah. So
in addition to, like, as you're saying, like the oppressiveness of like white patriarchy that's inherent to this country, right. You know, and that's foundationally part of this country.
Yeah.
And so it does make a lot of sense that Black folks, in addition to millennials, not doing so, kind of like not fitting into these traditional models are also not doing it at an even greater rate.
You know what that makes me think of too? It makes me think of the younger generation that's also rethinking like the structure of like love and marriage. Ooh. Girl, have you heard Willow Smith? She is so free. So like the way she moves, like specifically, like she's very open to like multiple relationships.
Yeah, polyamory.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she,
I have a friend who's been offered that.
Really?
Insane. They were offered like a throuple. Stop relationship, it. Right?
It How is. Would you respond to that?
I don't know. I think people are open to it. I know. Don't. Please I'm don't. Not interested.
No, not at all.
But I think it's the idea, like, a lot of people now are feeling like there's no ownership or possessiveness in love, right? Mm-hmm. So they feel like that they don't have to possess their partner in that way, and that their partner could love multiple people at one time.
That's good for them.
So
I have to just be more open-minded about it.
Tell me more about Willow, because I didn't.
So Willow was talking about how, first of all, I think if I'm not mistaken, she said she would never get married because she can love multiple people at once. But Willow's always been like a really free spirit. And I think
her and Jaden.
What? Yeah. Wildly. So like Willow will do things like grow out her armpit hair and refuse to remove hair on her body because it's her and her. And I remember Gams, Jada Pinkett's mother would be like, I don't understand.
She's a baby boomer.
How you not waxing? Yeah. Yeah. She'd be so beside herself trying to understand, but then also trying to figure out a way to be supportive. Like, okay, but keep it clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I admire.
She seems like the one on the show for Red Table Talk. If you guys haven't watched it, really great. Really great. Especially the older episodes.
Yes.
But like Gam seems to, and that's the grandmother. She seems to have the most resistance and most like she's awestruck by the audacity of Willow and like how she's imagining her own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and living it out, quite frankly.
And living out her own life.
She's like, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
It's like, what are people? She's going to be like, damn the people.
Exactly.
Willow lives her life out loud in color.
Do you think there's room for millennials, Gen Zers, to kind of think about different arrangements? So I read something around, like, some people are thinking around, like, short-term union relationships where they know there's going to be.
Like, leasing a marriage, girl?
Like, leasing a marriage. Like, kind of want to just hang out with you. You know, for like 5 years or something.
You know what? I could understand the value in that. To me, I'd be like, what's the difference between that and like long-term relationships,
yeah,
like boyfriend and girlfriend? I think one maybe just offers some legal protection, but it's a pain in the ass to like try to change your name and all that stuff. So it's like, if you like it, I love it. It's not for me.
Sarah Silverman. I don't know if she's an actor, but she was like, why would I want the government to be all up in my relationship? You know, and I was like, ooh, interesting. But then there are provisions and protections, right? So now we think Islamically around this model, and you think like marriage is a protection, right? That you are going into a relationship knowing that you have a community behind you, right?
Yeah.
I have a friend who recently got married and felt like when they had their union where they were kind of showing themselves to the world, it really felt like, wow, right, this is real. And we also have like a respect and a duty to ourselves, first and foremost.
To formalize the relationship.
To formalize the relationship, but in addition to like, we have a responsibility to our community, right? To see
of how we conduct ourselves.
Of how we conduct ourselves. And so Islamically, we understand the benefit of marriage,
absolutely,
right? Of the protection and security of these relationships. But then I see how millennials, and I wonder how that's going to work. Like our Muslim lens with our kind of modern day millennial lens around how people are fashioning new relationships. Like, what does that look like moving forward?
Girl, I don't know, because some of the aunties are out here moving, getting married, divorcing, yeah, remarried, living their best lives.
Is polyamory not like marrying four wives? Like, Allah said, Allah told y'all. You know?
But listen, fellas, like, get one wife and then decide. Listen. That's all I'm gonna say. Every married man I know who was like joke about it, they'd be like, get you one wife first, brother. I know. And then tell me if you can handle four.
You cannot.
Then tell me. It's like, a lot really of work. Have
to take care of girl. Four, right? Like, yeah. You just, I don't think child, anyone in the United ready. States has the ability.
You know.
Born of chaos. You know, like, there's period. No way that you can afford your student loans and a wife and children and household.
Listen.
Yeah. But yeah, so also in this article, they were saying, like, child-rearing marriages. They said that people who live apart and decide not to live together. So, you know, I think there is room to decide how, even in our Muslim lens, to decide what relationships are putting together.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because that's a private matter, right? But of course, you want to do it with, you know, the legality and the protection and the barakah of Allah, which is like the goodness of God.
I definitely recommend that. And the other thing is, like, you know, I tell, like,
I see the benefit in it.
For sure. And I think marriage shouldn't have rules. I think one thing that Will and Jada do really well is, like, they are not subscribed to the traditional structure of marriage. And if it works for them, it works for them. And I think what we could borrow from that in terms of Muslims is, like, there's a lot of open space to make a union that's yours, right? Whether that's living apart or having two different spaces, you can do that and completely be within the confines of an Islamic marriage. And I tell people, go for it. I think a lot of people still get culture mixed up with religion. And I think that's where it gets dangerous.
Exactly.
But a lot of our religion offers peace, freedom, and security. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, doing what makes you happy.
I also sometimes think about, like, you think about my mom. I think my mom, what generation? She may be a baby boomer, right? But I think about, like, how she puts on unneeded, like, pressures around her idea of marriage on me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm just thinking, like, how do we then, because we're not going to leave our parents behind. Like, how do we bring them along, and how do we have those conversations?
Help them grow with us. And help them grow with us.
But that's maybe some conversations that we'll have on another episode or in the comments, right? But, you know, we're just trying to make it, and I think we're trying our best to be the best with ourselves. Because I do think that we have more development than our parents, right? And we're really kind of, and maybe because we're egocentric, you know, like, we're really
obsessed
with ourselves.
All of the stuff that they put us through, we had to go to fucking therapy.
We had to, like, self-soothe, right? And take care of ourselves. True. And so we ended up being, I feel like, a generation that's more equipped to handle a lot more things because we've lived through it. Like, we've been there. And so I'm excited to see what the next, like, decade, two decades, inshallah, God willing, we can get out of COVID.
Oh my God. Because
that's the worst of it all.
Can you imagine being outside with no masks? Like, can you imagine the day that all the Goodwills are filled with masks? Because people are giving them away.
I ain't never wearing no mask outside. Like, I will wear a mask. That's what I'm... I don't think I'm likely ever going to go back to, like, not wearing a mask in, like, public spaces.
Especially, like traveling. Stores, I don't know if I'll ever get on a plane.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's not like I could see myself walking around somewhere in, like, no mask, right? But any closed door spaces, work, I'll never take off a mask ever again. Yeah. And my cousin, who's an emergency room doc, she's like, I'll never... she was like, I was all up in these people's face without a mask on. You know?
You know what it is? Like, the blowing on birthday cakes. And
I always thought that was nasty.
Really?
But I was just like...
And the eyebrows. Like, when you get your eyebrows done and the lady's breathing in your face.
Yeah.
Girl, what were we thinking? We're disgusting.
I know. And anyway. I'm already a germaphobe, and I was thinking about these things, but it just adds an additional layer.
It does. It does.
But we hope we'll be out of it.
Yeah. Inshallah, we'll be able to, like, link up with you guys and actually hang out.
We do want
to
do an in-house kick it.
We've been talking about that. Do we want to talk to Cher a little bit about what we've been thinking?
Like, we hope, like, by next summer, God willing, inshallah, that we will be able to meet and have, like, a talk
safely,
space,
super
space,
cool vibe.
Kind of sharing. Yes. Kind of sisterhood, brotherhood type, you know, experience.
Kickback. Yeah, an kickback. Experience. I love that.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in that, let us know. Starting to think through some of that, seeing if that's something that we want to do. Mm-hmm. But if you guys are interested, definitely hit us up. Let us know. We'd love to kind of get your guys' thoughts. But I think that'll wrap us up for this episode. Make sure you like, rate, review, follow, subscribe. We're on YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else that you like to, like, kick it on the internet. So with that being said, peace.